We're joined now by Jen Morris, CEO at the Walk Free Foundation. Thank you for joining us this morning, Jen.
Thanks, Sam. My pleasure.
So, Jen, what is the state of slavery in the modern day?
Yeah, I guess the first thing to say, Sam, is it's very much, as you alluded in the intro, it's a present problem. A lot of people think slavery doesn't even exist today. Well, it certainly is something of the present. And we estimate through our work with the ILO, the International Labour Organization, with the recently announced global estimate, that there's more than 40 million people living in any given day in slavery. So it's a significant number, and it disproportionately impacts women. Women and girls account for around just over 70% of that big number that I mentioned, and two-thirds of that number is in our own Indo-Pacific region.
Now, when people think of slavery, they no doubt think of like Roman slaves or slaves in American plantations. What form does slavery take these days?
In terms of industries, you know, we're looking at workers in the domestic, you know, domestic workers, agricultural workers, manufacturing. The fishing industry is a really, really sort of high prevalence one. And, of course, sexual servitude is one as well. And it's generally where people have, you know, they're being exploited for the services. They're not getting paid any money. They can't leave. And generally they're being held under some kind of violence or threat.
And how do people end up in these situations?
Generally, it's, you know, the most vulnerable people are the ones that end up being exploited. If you look at conflict areas, you know, where there's displacement of people with refugees, that's a high area for prevalence. And often it's just people that are desperate to work for money and they're promised something that's not delivered in the end. And I know I've recently been on a trip to the south of India where the textile industry, the mills that spin the cotton and make the T-shirts that you and I wear, you know, there it can be a very, very small debt from family. It could be through alcohol. It even could be through health. You know, if there's a very basic health need that costs them money, the mother pays for the children and then they're in debt, and then unscrupulous recruiters move in. And then they're sort of signed up to this sort of bonded labour where they have no way of being able to pay back that original debt when there's some, you know, very, very high interest rates applied to that.
Now, you've mentioned that it disproportionately affects women. What are the living conditions and sort of the daily life of people in the slavery?
Generally, what you find is that recruiters will come into the communities and they will offer education and, you know, good living conditions for their daughters. And then, of course, when they get there, you know, it could be in a room that you or I may not think is fit for one or two people. They might have 18 people to a room, barely with a mattress, barely with enough food to live on, and certainly, you know, sanitation and bathroom conditions are almost non-existent. It's pretty horrific, and obviously there's a range, you know, depending on which country, but generally it's not conditions that you or I could ever live in.
Jen, why is public perception or public knowledge of this issue so, like, critically lacking? Because people largely just don't think it exists at all. How is that possible?
Yeah, I agree with you. How is it possible? I think when you say to people, you know, that slavery still exists, it's either genuine ignorance that people think that was a yesteryear type condition, or it's the fact that they don't realise that it's still happening. And when you think of, you know, if something's too cheap to buy, it's generally too good to be true. So if you're buying a T-shirt that's unbelievably cheap, you have to think about, well, where did that come from? You know, who made that? But I think, Sam, that more and more we're seeing an increasing awareness, particularly in the developed countries. You know, we're seeing moves with legislation and greater awareness from governments, and businesses are leading because investors, employees, consumers are starting to ask questions. And I recently heard that on the big capital markets in the US, you know, 20% of funds now being invested are with ESG type gradings, which is the environment, social and governance gradings in capital markets, which is, you know, those dollars are being invested in areas which are seem to be far more ethical than not.
So, Jen, is that how we can work toward preventing it? Is it just then that we need, like, a lack of demand, people being aware of it? Is that how we move towards not having slavery?
Yeah, I think it's demand and supply. You know, when there's always massive demand for it, there's always going to be, you know, it's organized crime. So people are making money out of it, and people mm-hmm. will always follow the money. So I think from a consumer point of view, you know, what can day-to-day people, what can we do? It's just being very aware. You know, the chocolate we eat, the tin of tuna that we eat at lunch, you know, be a little curious and investigate some of those labels. And for Australia, you know, we're quite lucky. If it's made in Australia, chances are it's probably going to be okay. Many of our products aren't, but just being curious about where our food and clothes comes from is a starting point.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Jen, for joining us this morning.
No problem. One thing I'll say, Sam, just to add is, you know, the Australian government has really started to lead on this, and we know that a bill for a Modern Slavery Act will be introduced into Parliament on June 30, and then legislation will be completed by the end of the year. So that's great news.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye out for that. Thank you very much, Jen.
Thanks, Sam.